Good evening to everyone. It's a real privilege for us to be here, finally. We had never had that many problems trying to come home as we had this time, but we truly appreciate every one of your prayers in our behalf. So thank you very much. And I just want a special thank you for the many ways you have supported us, our family, the ministry down there, and being here and receiving so many meals from you and blessing us in that and many other ways. We feel very loved. And thank you very much. I would like to read the verse that we found in Psalm 68, verse number 5, just to start this time of sharing about the home. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his only habitation. I chose to share this verse with you because this has been a tremendous reality for us with the ministry, with the children home in El Salvador. And I was trying to think, how should I begin this time with you? I had to think of one little story that I want to share with you. Because I want us to focus on how good God is to us and how much God cares about these little ones that are abandoned. They touch the heart of God like in incredible ways. Like many of you know, the home started because of me being in the children's home and Debbie Yoder Susanna being house parents, and the good experience for me was that I always dreamed that we should start again at Children's Home in El Salvador. When I married Regina, she supported me with this vision, and we were together in many different ways. But I was praying with other people for about 15 years before we started this Children's Home. And the other day, we have a visitor coming to the home. And it's part of my job to go get them to the airport and show them the home and whatever else they want. I'm the service for. I like to do the job. It's part of my job to take care of visitors. So this visitor was very interesting, and he started talking to me. He said, when I heard about this children home plans to be built, I wish I could have paid the whole bill myself for this building. This building you see there took 1 year. I'll show you more pictures. It's a beautiful building. And he said, I decided I want to take time to think about it. And when finally I called Christianity to tell them that I was ready to pay the whole thing, they told me that somebody else beat me. Somebody else paid the whole building, the whole bill for the building before I did. Well, people from Christianity tell us that 3 people show up. They want to pay the whole thing. And they, of course, choose one. Why I want to tell you this? Because God loves these little ones. And he touches people's heart in a way that is unbelievable. So I want to share with you other stories how God has been faithful, merciful, and just a wonderful father to this these children and to all of us. So I'll go ahead and show the pictures right away. Okay. You know, they say sometimes don't listen to me. Okay. This is the main door as you come into the home. And this is the interiors of the home. This is the side there. The reason I show you this picture is because this a nice place for many children that otherwise would be living in the street or very terrible ways. God has provided much a better place that they can call home. And I will show you some of this picture. Some of you know these children. This is Alejandro. He came to the home when he was a baby. Somebody threw him late in the night in a bathroom, the bus terminal. So early in the morning, the person who cleaned the bathroom find him, called the police. The police called the child agency. And then the child agency called us. So that's how he came to the home as a very young age. We didn't know he was handicapped. We knew he was blind. But he started growing. We knew that he's completely handicapped. But we love him. Everybody loved him at the home. This is Alexis. He came to us as a baby too, or being abandoned. And this is Brian. He's part of 6 siblings we have at the home. They come from the home, same family, I mean, same mother, different fathers. And this is Carlos. He cannot hear. He's a deaf. And very interesting. He have quite a temper. And he see life different than we do. And pray for Carlos. We want to teach him. I want to tell you a little story about Carlos. We have a coffee farm at the home. And when the harvest time comes, we really enjoy just going working together, get the grain out of the plants. And it's a fun time because we all can work together. So I came early in the morning to the home, and everybody was ready to go to the farm to work. But he wasn't ready, and I asked Carlos, why are you not ready to go work today? He said, oh, me no like coffee. I don't want to work at the farm. I said, Carlos, but everybody's having fun. You would like to enjoy working with everybody else. No, he said, I don't like that. Well, I saw he was determined not to work that day, so I decided I have a problem here. What are you going to do with this guy? See, he cannot hear, so I had to ask somebody to sign for me. So finally I told, hey, Carlos, you know what? If you don't want to go pick coffee at the farm, it's fine. You can stay home. But I want to tell you something. After the harvest is over, we're going to go to the water park. Everybody who works at the farm picking coffee is going to go to the water park. But you don't have to go. You can stay home. That'll be fine. He think a little bit, and he said, you know what, he said, I like pick coffee. I want to go with you to pick coffee. So he went and had fun working with everybody too. This is Cesar. His mother is in jail because she's a gang member. We take him to jail so he can see her sometimes. And this is Daniel. He's part of the family of 6 siblings. Diana, she's part of the 6 siblings too. Very sweet little girl. Ernesto, when he came to us, he was so malnourished that the doctor said that he will never learn to walk. But with a lot of love and good nutrition and a lot of therapies, he walks and sometimes he runs. You can see that he's not very normal, but he's doing very good. Idalia, she was abandoned too, and they bring her to her home. She's very sweet. If you come close to Idalia, she will have a lot of questions for you. She loves to talk. And this is Jacqueline. Some of you remember Jacqueline. She's the only one that has been in the United States for the heart surgery. You remember she came to the home and as a baby with a terrible heart disease. And when she was about 2 years old, she only weighed about 10 pounds. It was miserable to see that little baby. And I won't repeat that story because a lot of you know it, but the Iowa Children's Hospital and a team of doctors helped us to get her a surgery. And she's a miracle from God. She's fairly normal. She lived a very normal life, and we thank God for Jacqueline. Jose, he is no longer with us. The judge ordered him to go back with some of his relatives. Juan, he also went back with his mother. His mother is mentally handicapped, but the judge wanted him to go with her, so that's where he is. And this is Karina. Karina came to us as a baby. See, now she's 10 years old, and she committed her life to Jesus, and we are very glad for her way walking with the Lord. She is tremendous encouragement for us. Catherine, she's the youngest of the 6 siblings. And this is Kevin. When he came to us as a baby, and he was very bad, mistreated. Somebody hurt him pretty bad when he was a tiny baby. One of his legs is not growing properly, and one of his arms isn't also. He had a lot of problems with that. So, but he is living a fairly normal life. Lucia, she is a sister with Juan. The judge ordered her to go with her mother. Her mother is mentally handicapped. She begged the judge to let her stay at the home because she really wanted to stay at home, but the judge told her, I'll give you 2 months and you need to go. So let's pray for Lucia. Reynaldo, she went back with some of her relatives too. And this is Saul. He's funny looking. He's very, very nice little guy. He is blind. He came to the home when he was 7 months old. Nobody wanted him. I mean, the other homes don't want him. He was abandoned at the hospital, and the other homes don't want him because he was blind, and everybody was afraid that it would take too much money to take care for him. Our committee decided to take Saul in, and that's how he came to the home. And he's living a fairly normal life. He goes to the blind school. Vladimir, one of the 6 siblings. Wilbur. Let's pray for Wilbur. He needs the Lord. He has been a tremendous challenge for us. And yeah, let's pray for Wilbur. He needs the Lord. Some of the activities at the home is the father Gustavo, as you can see this more clear picture, eating with some of the children at the boys' table. And this is the girls' table, and you can see here the mother, Adelie, eating with the girls. I want to show you some of the activities we do at the home. Children help with cleaning the floors. And this Edgardo, he loved to do mechanics work, so he do a lot of the vehicle repairs. And he liked cutting the children's hair. The children don't like it as much as he does. This is enjoying the evening outside with the children. Birthdays. This is Alexis. A special time for the children in the home. This is Carlos. He likes birthday too. We don't know which one is his birthday, and he doesn't know either. One of my jobs is to get the children's birth certificate, but with this one, it's so tough because in his records, we have very little information. We don't know how to get information about him, his family, or anything, whenever he was born. So we just invent one date in the calendar for him, and he's happy with it. We're guessing he probably is 14 years old, but we don't know. All he cares about is cake. And this is Gustavo and Adelie with some of the children opening Christmas gift. Carlos again. audience at the park. And this is a brother from Homes Canada that came and worked for us, take care of these three boys. They became very good friends. James Miller. And the children do some memory work. And the father helped them sometime to make sure they get things done. I think that some of those are school assignments. And the last year, we have a 10-year anniversary. Brother Arthur, our bishop, came to the home and shared with us a lot of the good things the Lord had done for us in these past 10 years. We have a really good time singing and hearing stories, and it was an enjoyable time for everybody. Okay, some of the things we do at the farm, butcher, about once a month, sell the meats to neighbors and church people, raise money for school. And these are some of the sisters come to help at the home from Nicaragua and Costa Rica. And this is a brother from Montana, St. Ignatius, Montana, Amish community there. They've been very supportive to the home. And different people have been coming to work for us. And he's helping, or he's working with Vladimir cleaning eggs. We have about 400 chicken layers for eggs, and one cow, and a few pigs, and rabbit. And that keeps the children busy doing some chores, and we like it that way. The garden, we were very happy to have raised some vegetables at home. I will tell you more later when we get to the well stories. The well has been a tremendous blessing for the home. Just to see they're growing different kind of vegetables, green beans and radishes and cucumbers and green peppers and sweet corn, so many things. It's a blessing from God to us. I need to tell you something about this here. This is a sweet corn. In different times, we try to raise sweet corn at the home, and the plants never grow, and we never couldn't get anything. So one time I told Arthur, "Why you don't come and pray with us that God will heal this land, because I don't think it's normal that we cannot grow this sweet corn here and other vegetables." So one day Arthur came, and we get all the children and staff together outside, and we prayed that God will heal the land. About 4 months later, we had this crop of sweet corn. Indeed, God answered prayers. I want people to know that God answered prayers and bless us. Canning tomatoes. And this is the well. Took 6 months to Brother Philip Glick to get this weld in place. And some of you know some of this story. I won't tell you a whole lot anymore, but we have a church gathering, and we pray God to show us where to dig this well, and we feel like that place would be the right place. It's fairly close to the road. So the neighbors see this big equipment coming and making a lot of noise digging every day, and they come and see it, and they ask us, "How do you know you're going to find water there? Did you make any study to know that there is water?" We said, "No, we just pray." And they said, "You will never find water there. Other people had tried to, and they never find any water." So 1 month and 2 months and 3 months and 4 months, and we start thinking that, well, I know a lot of you were praying with us, and they were wondering if the neighbors are right, and we don't know what to tell them. But 5 months went, and 6 months, and one day they found water, a lot of water, fresh water, And people really enjoyed. It was a big party that day at the home. Children came and played in the water, and they were pumping water for about 3 hours just because they would love to see that water flowing out of there. It seemed like we found abundantly water. And the neighbors came later and said, "Did you find water?" I said, "Yes, we found water." "Wow," they said, "we didn't think you will." And we said, "Well, we pray, and God answered our prayers." So we want to praise God for that too. We have a church time to thank God for giving water us at the home. And now we have plenty of water to put a garden and raise all kind of vegetables. And the whole year round, we have something going out there. And it's a tremendous blessing for the home. We also sell water to our neighbors. Caleb and some of the children, home children are there on top. They open the valve, and in the bottom picture, some of the community boys come and buy water. Okay, this is some of the picture of the school, end of the year school. The children have some dramas and singing. They enjoy that the school is over. And it's a happy time for everybody. And this is Alejandro and Saul going to the blind school. This is from Monday to Friday. And Saul is learning incredible things, how to go around. And Saul can go everywhere in the home without any problems. I think Alejandro basically was used for therapies. Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about coffee. When we came to the home, there was a coffee farm on the property. And we want these children to learn to work. And we had this dream that sometimes the home can become self-supported. So we start this coffee business, trying to get our coffee processing into the market. So the top picture is how the coffee looks when it comes out of the tree, and the second picture is after the coffee is processed, and the third picture is when it's roasted, almost ready to drink. This is how we go to the farm and with all the children and some of the staff and get these grains out of the trees. It's a fun time. We all can work together. And this is how we start the process. Put those grain into the barrel, with mixing with water to go through the system, go through this equipment. And the shelf come in one side and goes back to the farm to be for used for fertilizing. And the grain goes to the paddy for being dry. We work in the night, so some of the children get tired and take a nap, while the rest of us work and finish things. And the coffee, when it's processed, comes to this patio, and we dry at the sun. In 5 to 6 days, the coffee should be in 12% humidity, ready to go to the warehouse. And this is the way we pack it to send it to the U.S. Need to have all the legal codes in order to go through custom. And that's how I hope people load the trucks. 150 pounds in the back of the guy. There are, I think, about 250 sacks of that, and about 4 or 5 guys do it. This is the way how it looks after when it's in the market. This is what you see at Glenn's Bulk Food Store and other places. We have 3 different kinds: the roast, original blend, and the supremo. The reason is because some people like their coffee dark, and some people don't like it too dark. So we try to reach all what people like as much as possible. Okay, this is the stuff we used to have at the home. Some of them are no longer working at the home, but at one point they were working for the home. People from Costa Rica and Nicaragua, Salvador, U.S., Pennsylvania, Montana, Indiana, Ohio. We're blessed with different people coming to help us in different ways. Santos pastor of the church in Quetzaltepeque with his family. And this is a picture of the kitchen of the home. Tortillas. You're hungry? That's what we use for bread in El Salvador. A lot of tortillas. A picture of the kitchen. A group from Montana came to visit the home, and they see this, that we have all washer from the time we started at home. We still were fixing all washers, and they said, man, why you have so old washer here and just fix them all the time? We will help you get something new here. So this people from Montana bought for us two brand new washers, and the lady out there were very, very happy for new equipment, more efficient, and a lot of laundry a lot of laundry to do every day at the home. It's an easier job now. So we're grateful, thankful to God for that too. This is the church at the city. Every Sunday morning, the home and everybody goes to this corner, to this place. That's where we get together for Sunday's morning service. And this is the way how it looks inside. It's a normal Sunday morning service at San Salvador Church. And this is the staff. Everybody and the children. And this is the last picture. Lights on, please. Are you still awake? So, I'll open if you have some questions about the home. Yes.
This isn't about the home, but Darren Beachy is working there now, right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. How long has he been there?
December 17 is going to be 1 year. He has finished his term in December, and we have a brother from Montana taking his place. Yeah, he has been a really good worker. We like him very much. And here is Mateito that worked for us too. We call him Mateito because was another Mateo out there, and he was older, so that way we can tell the difference. Somebody else, therefore, somebody has a question? Or no? Okay, here. That
what?
Oh, thank you. He is wondering about the school. Some of you find out that we closed the school because we're supposed to be a credit for the government, and we weren't. When they came to us and asked for the paper, we said, we don't have any, and they said, you need to close it. What happened is that we used to have a Republican government in El Salvador. And they knew we didn't have any papers, but they see that we were doing a much better job than the public system. So they just looked the other side, and they knew there's a lot of paperwork to do, and it's very hard to get it through. So they just looked the other side. They never say anything. Well, the communist government came in, and they started digging through all our paperwork and if we have things in place. And we have the license to operate at home and everything, but one time they came and they said they want to see the license for the school. And we said, we don't have any. And they said, how do you have any? How do you operate the school? Well, we just do it. And then they said, well, we're going to shut down this thing here. And then Arthur and Neto Leek and other ministers went and met these people and appealed to them that, you know, we don't want to send them to the public school because it's not going to be good for the children. I was there in the meeting, and some of these people, there is only one way things work, and it's their ways. They said, there's no way. We're not going to negotiate this. The home need to shut down the school. So shut down, and we have been working on the paperwork. And they have been saying that they want to let us start next year, this coming year in February. They haven't given us any paper, but they've been promising that they will. So let's keep praying that God will touch this communist people's heart too and help us. We would like to continue with a school project in at the home. Other question? Yes. The what? No, we have a 5-horse pump. Yeah. About 550 feet. Yeah. Yes, Joel. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Do you expect many of your children there to be there throughout most of their childhood until they are adults, or not?
Yeah, you mean that, yes, I understand now. Yes, we believe that most of the children will be there. And we have been, the way we set up is that most of the homes, when the children reach 18, they need to go. But the children that you see there, when we start at home, we decide we want children that are total abandoned. And that's what they give to us. So these children, the only family they know is us and the house parents. And that's all the family they know that they have. So we cannot say when you are 18, you go, because where they will go. So we decide that this is going to be a family environment. And they are going to be here until they married or the Lord called them to do something else. But the judge system has been working hard to find a place, relatives or anything, and for most of them, they are not finding anybody. So for that reason, most of them will stay in at the home. That's the way we believe. So sometimes the judges have a very unique way of thinking. Let's pray for them. It's easy for me to get out of emotionally about the judges. So let's pray for the judges, and for me too, I need to understand them. We have been having some hard times understanding each other, let's put it that way. And it's hard when they do things to the children that the children don't deserve. And maybe I should tell you this. The 6 siblings, you know, they are abandoned. They have basically nowhere to go. There is a few relatives, but they don't want them. And the judge wants to send them to these relatives. And the children say they don't want to go anywhere. And then one of the advantages that the oldest is 17. And then he speaks up for the rest. And the judge has been having a hard time doing any harm to these children because of somebody older there that know how terrible it will be. And one of the hearings that they had was very interesting. The little ones came to the table, and the judge and the team was there, and they asked the little ones, would you like to go with your mama, with your relatives? And they say yes. And the older guys, they're just very quiet there. And one of the older guys tell them, hey, don't ask my siblings what they want to do, because they don't know. I know, he said. And they don't know anything. Please don't ask them questions. Ask me questions if you want to know, because I know how it is to be out there. And it's really tough. So we want to be at the home, and please leave us in peace. And wow, it seems like everybody was kind of quiet, and he was bold enough to speak, and the judge didn't do anything, because there is a team. The judge have a team of people, like the human right defender for children, and it's about six different people in the courtroom. So the judge needs to be very careful for the other people that are there too. And when the children claim their right, it's very easy but if they know what they are doing. But sometimes when they are little, it's harder. You see some of the or and maybe I don't want to tell you this story yet. What time is it? We have 5 minutes. You see some of our girls with coverings here and cape dresses. And for the judge system, that is a big no-no. We have a very unique experience with working with these children. We can learn to know different people, and then some of them are tremendous blessings to us. So we learned to know one of the ladies that is a, I'm not sure how to translate in English these words, but it's something like the right defender for children, if that makes any sense. Her job is to look for the right of the children in El Salvador. He's kind of a very high position in the government. Well, one time, we have people from the government agency came to look at the home, and most of the time they just come for normal, to check things, make sure everything is okay. But this time they came and they want to go through all the clothes, and especially to the girls. And they went through the closet and everything, and we wonder what's going on. I mean, it's different this time. And they were writing everything they see, and they passed a report of terrible things, like we have very low esteem for women because the way we make them dress. We think men are here and women are here, and all kind of terrible report about the home because the way that the girls match the dresses. And I met this lady because the complaint came to her desk. And then she said, "Misael, I want to come to your home to meet with you because there are things that we need to talk about." And I said, "Anytime, if you want transportation, I'll come get you. Just let me know." But the weird thing is that she never moved the case. Never. They just filed the case. And we were thinking that they might be coming and tell us that we need to change. During that time, one of our girls have a hearing. And she came to the courtroom with her covering and her dress, cape dress. And everything started in the courtroom with the judge and social worker and attorney. And then the social worker immediately stood up and said that the first thing that you want to address is that the dress code that this home has. And they look at the girl and said that, "Look, the way she dressed and this covering and everything is against the right, or she had the right to choose what she want to do." And well, you can think everything that a person want to say is you want to go in that direction. And then God is so good to us. In that courtroom, there was one of our friends, and he's a Christian. He was a representative for the child right defender. And he asked the judge if he can talk. He can take his turn. So he said, well, he said, so the judge gave him the chance to talk. And he said, "If these people are giving these children food, clothing, and giving so much care, investing so much of them, they had the right to teach him religion too." So in my own opinion, in the Salvador, we are free to live the way we want to. When these children are 14, 17, 18, they are going to choose whatever they want to do because nobody forced anybody here. So I think that these children should be taught at the home, and later they can choose whatever they want to do. And the judge said, that's right. So that was the case was closed right there. I think God has been so good to us. We have been come this close sometimes to have problems, big problems, but God is always there for us. So thank you for your prayers. I know you are back home praying for us, and sometimes we've had these challenges, but God is so good. Other question? Well, thank you for your attention. I would like to invite my family to come. We're going to sing a Spanish song for you, and then we'll finish this time. When we go through the churches, I usually present my family, but I guess you know everybody here. Maybe for some of you, I should tell them, this is Joshua here, and then Stephen, Glenn Daniel, Aaron, and Linda Joy, and Josiah, and Natalie, and this is Jeremy, ooh, and Regina, of course. We'll sing Cantaré de la Gracia del Señor. Thanks again for your attention, and just pray for us as we work at the home and at this ministry. Pray that God will find us faithful, working every day. I thought I should ask you to pray for me, especially with some people ask me, what is your job at the home? Part of my job is to deal with the paperwork, the legal things for the home, and take children to court and things like that. And I think the hardest part of my job is the legal things. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to, sometimes it's time to be quiet, sometimes it's time to talk, and sometimes it's hard to know when to do what. So I need wisdom from God. Please pray for me that I want to do things God's way. It's easy to do things my way when I don't like things the way the judge want to do it, but I want to honor God over everything. So let's pray that for me as I deal with them. And also pray for the coffee business. We are dreaming that someday the Lord will allow us to be self-supported, and the business is growing a little bit every year. I know some of you are enjoying the coffee, and thank you very much for buying it. Keep buying and drink. Enjoy high-quality coffee. And God has been good to us, and people are buying our coffee. The other day, I came through Indiana because I want to meet with a dealer. He want to buy coffee from us, and he's very interested. He's planning to buy something like a 40,000 pounds. So we're not finished with the contract yet, but we're working in that direction, and we're glad for that. Thank you for praying, and keep praying in that direction. I want to see the home becoming self-supported sometime. So thank you very much. The Lord bless you.